This is Michael Angley of Michael Angley Live, Discovery Paranormal, and the Daily Update with Michael Angley. For the best news and commentary, tune in to Michael Angley Live every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. For the best paranormal talk in town, tune in to Discovery Paranormal every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And check out UPRN, United Public Radio Network, every day for the Daily Update with Michael Angley. All on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.7 New Orleans.
Hi, come check out Christina George's new show, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond, Thursday night, 8 p.m. See you Thursday, Jeff. Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio. You want to learn about aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, visitations, military abductions? Join Joe Montaldo on Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. for his episodes of UFO Undercover. Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest-running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio are striving for but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fees, no cost to download individual shows, and none of the constant hassling for donations. That's the UPRNradio.com difference. So stick around, there's much more to come with new shows on the way. For now, feel free to join your favorite show live in the Pal Talk chat room, easily accessible off UPRNTalkRadio.com, and share the experience of listening live.
You are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary healing light work that will help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016. So let's get high and fly into new possibilities. So join Kathy every Friday night on UPRN, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show. A very powerful happening.
Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
Aloha, everybody. This is Kathy Golski, your spiritual goddess warrior on the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPRN Radio. That's UPRN Radio Stream 321.com. And this is, well, October 14th, 2016. Well, I've got a lot to do tonight. We're going to do a little bit of energy work, and I have a really special guest come on, Mark Trettler, and he's going to wrote this incredible book, My Dad is an Alcoholic, What About Me? You know, it's something that, you know, kids go through too. So he's going to be really interesting to talk to. And gosh, I've got to bring up the election really quick. Have y'all been listening to this? I mean, the election, I mean, how can you not? It is the most incredible soap opera I have ever seen. I don't even have to watch TV. Well, I do because I get to see it on TV. Or, of course, you know, the internet's really great for showing all the reruns of Clint and Clinton, Hillary, and Trump. What a name. If it wasn't so serious, it would be really, I mean, it's so sad because it should be serious, but oh my God, I cannot help but watch all the comedian shows, comedy shows. They are so hilarious. And like I said, it's like this one giant soap opera and all the crap is coming up. And you know, like every day you just kind of wondering, going, oh my God, what's Donald going to do or say today? Or what are they going to dig up on Hillary? What really gets me is I'm one of some of the comedy shows, which, you know, they're very pretty swayed one way toward Hillary. And that's their right. It is the amendment and all that, and First Amendment. But when they start saying she is the only candidate you can vote for, basically, and, you know, totally blocking out any other candidate other than Trump, because there is another one. There is a Green Party out there, guys. Yeah. Have you heard of them? They're out there. You haven't heard of them. It's only because they're not allowed on TV with the other candidates. Why? Because they're the same party. Yeah, the Green Party is actually the same party. So I'm watching one of the comedy shows, and she's just getting into everybody about how you cannot vote for any third party, and she wouldn't even put Jill Stein's picture up. I mean, that's how afraid these people are. But what they're afraid of is that Jill Stein's going to pull enough votes away from Hillary, but not enough votes to win. So, you know, Trump, and oh my God, please kill me if he wins, will win. And that's still sad. You know, someone said you got to choose the lesser of two evils. Well, that's not a choice. Evil is evil. But when you got two evil people out there and you got a third party candidate who's really, you know, a good guy or good woman, you might want to look at the other, you know, the good guy for a change, because there is another option. It's like saying the only option we have is Armageddon. Well, no, there's not. You have Armageddon, yes, and they're trying to push that. But we also have the Hopi prophecy of enlightenment, 25,000 years of peace, and that's what I give energy to. So there are choices out there. And it's I'm embarrassed. You know, the two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, they're not even giving us the illusion of an illusion that we would vote for, which would be an illusion. And it's sad. This is the best they could come up with. And sometimes I could just kind of step back and I'm going, wow, I wonder if they're actually paying, you know, Trump a lot under the table so he could come up against Hillary and just actually look so bad that she looks so good. But I mean, she just looks so bad herself that it's, you know, it's the bar is, what can we say? Yeah, they're equal. Oh Lord, it's scary. It's, you know, it really is scary. Pray for us, world, because we certainly need it. And as far as the Dakota Pipeline, of course, Obama, who is supposed to be a man of his word, choke, 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 choke. Yes. You know, if he was Pinocchio, I think his nose would go all the way around the world. And of course, the Dakota Pipeline is going forward, and they are still moving forward on it. And the protesters, the indigenous protectors, and all the people that are not indigenous that are still standing up for the earth, they're going to jail over this, you know? Shailene Woodley, the actress from Divergent, you know, bless her heart. I give her a 2 thumbs up. She's actually out there. And she also got sent to jail for protesting and standing up for water. I mean, you know, how reptilian is it? So let me give you Obama's phone number, and you really need to call him. Doesn't matter where you are on this world. Let him know you're watching him and what he is doing by keeping his silence and not speaking out for the Native American people and everybody else who wants clean water and having balls to do this. I'm sure he'd want to hear from you. So the White House phone number is 202-456-1111. And if you just don't want to spend the money on that phone call because you're, you know, out of town, here's the fax number, 202-456-2461. Let's do some energy work before Mark comes on. And this is going to be real fast, guys. So I want you to reconnect with the Creator. For all those you're going to participate, sit down, put your hands up like you're going to send out energy. And feel that, feel yourself reconnect with the Creator, that energy flow down, out your arms, out your hands, into the center, forming a bubble of light. And in this bubble of light, we are going to put in all the equipment that's being used on the Dakota Pipeline from the oil companies, all their tractors, their bulldozers, anything they use at all, computers, cars, trucks, diggers, anything they're using. All right, we're going to put it in this bubble of light. We're going to call to Michael the Archangel to come forth and cut the ties between those elementals and those that want to misuse them against the earth. And we fill them up with the angel light energy to heal them. We transmute them with the violet flame, reconnect them all with the Creator, and now we command them to be neutral, to only emit love. Feel all this energy flow out of you, and we're going to direct all this energy now, all that equipment to their weak spots in the equipment, and see all that equipment breaking down and doing it in a way where no one is hurt or harmed, and no one protester over there is at fault. And as we're doing this for the Dakota Pipeline, let this be done for all the pipelines that they're trying to push through, no matter where it is on the planet. See all that equipment breaking down. All right, take a deep breath and release it. So I want to do a real energy work real quick, and it's called Removing the Dark Energy Overlays Over the Earth and All Life Forms. And if you hear that high pitch that we hear all the time, this could be possibly where it's coming from and why. So listen up, give it energy, and this is going in the next bubble of light. In the name of the presence of God, which I am, through the magnetic power, the sacred fire vested in me, I command. I call to Michael the Archangel, Ganesha, the remover of obstacles, all the cosmic beings and the Creator, to cut all ties to all artificial plasma in the atmosphere that was reptilian created. As we cut the ties to their masters, we call the violet flame through all the cells, atoms, molecules, DNA of this plasma to clean it up. Now we reconnect it all to the Creator, filling it all up with divine love. We command it to be neutral and no longer function. See the plasma breaking up and neutralizing itself, let it not be able to form any square or ring frequency patterns. We place a mirror in front of the scalar and plasma weapons to return all signals and frequencies back to the reptilian stations. As this is done, we see all the equipment imploding on itself. Let all computers connected with any scalar frequency machines being used overloading with this energy that was sent back, causing the machines to also implode. I call the debris in outer space from rockets, meteors, satellites to start to magnetize all satellites that are not being used for the highest good of all mankind and interfere with their orbit cycles. I call to Helios and Vista to reach out and embrace these satellites with so much divine electromagnetic energy that it will interfere with signals that are not being used with the divine purpose. I give the angels permission to interfere and divinely distort any signals coming from satellites. We cut ties to all fifth-dimensional energy frequency vents around the Earth that is creating a dark energy overlay over the Earth to control and harness human consciousness. We cut ties to all machines that are affecting us in the third world through frequencies, vibrations, and sound that is directed at the electromagnetic fields to create negativity and chaos. We cancel clear all frequencies that are suppressing light, giving humans an oppressive feeling. We also cut the ties to military buoys connected to the reptilian stations and their dark masters. We command that all these buoys be contained in the circle of cement with a lead overlay to jam all frequencies, placing all these buoys in a position of harmlessness. We command that frequencies connected to the Merkabar orthogonal transformers to break down and collapse, dissolving the frequency fence that creates a self-perpetuating loop of negativity. We now send a golden solar energy through these frequencies that shift the grid so people feel positive, happy, and see their life's missions and purposes and how they're going to receive everything they need to fulfill them. We now command the breakdown and deactivation of all scalar plasma weapons that are coming from low Earth orbit satellites that are targeting the most awakened light warriors on the planet. We also see the plasma toplet bombs that are protecting these satellites breaking down and becoming non-functional. Let's send a golden solar energy through the grid's morphogenetic grid that neutralizes any dark energy that wants to control the grid. I call divine light, divine balance, divine male-female balance to all the grids, ley lines, meridians, domes, obelisks, pyramids, and all sacred spots on the planet. I call the Michael's Sorted Blue Flame to cut all ties to all satanic negative ceremonies that have been done past, present, future on these areas. See it blaze with the violet flame to transmute these power spots to divine light. Envision these areas blazing in God's divine radiating love, sending positive, enlightened energy through the earth and all sacred spots, radiating joy and happiness to the earth and all her inhabitants. As these reptilian facilities break down, we see everyone reconnect to the Creator, becoming awakened, spiritual, divine, happy beings. They are also given their divine missions and purposes as they open to new possibilities that will help them go beyond their divine potential. Nevertheless, not our will, but thy will be done. So be it. Take a deep breath and release all that energy out to manifest. All right, let's do a quick one more while we're waiting for Mark to call. And in this one, we're going to bring golden solar energy down to cover all the pyramids and all sacred spots on Earth. See all the pyramids, grids, ley lines, domes, obelisks, and all the sacred spots on the planet covered in a golden solar divine energy again, allowing us to be in sync with the heavens once more, waking up all inhabitants of this beautiful planet. Let us send the golden solar energy right to all the grids and ley lines, dragon ley lines that go into the heart of the Mother Earth, regenerating the Earth as well as letting her recalibrate to the divine heaven manifesting on Earth energy with gentle, kind movements. Let's envision all elementals of war being put in a position of harmless, forever breaking down. As we leap into a divine golden age, beyond the first golden age, imagine a divine golden age of healing, joy, functional families living in complete harmony and peace. We see anything nuclear being closed down, and any person who wants to take nuclear forward, have them removed from office, being replaced with a sane, enlightened being who will push ahead renewable energy supplies now. See all reptilians, politicians being removed from all offices they hold now, replaced with a loving, kind, awakened spiritual being. As the golden solar energy flows through all the sacred places on Earth, all life forms feel it and begin to have a gentle awakening as they reconnect to the Creator, becoming awakened spiritual beings filled with joy and purpose. See heaven on Earth being created. We ask that this high divine energy is integrated with everyone in a gentle, kind, loving way, with everyone's cells, atoms, molecules going all the way down into the DNA and soul memory. See heaven on earth being created now. Nevertheless, not our will, but thy will be done. So be it. So take a deep breath. As we exhale, feel that energy going out and manifesting. So again, we're going to create one more bubble of light. And we're going to put in all the protectors of the land and water. So let's send energy out to all the defenders of the land. May they be protected and send all that they need to win, food, water, clothes, ideas, and brilliant free lawyers. May their ranks swell as more people become aware of their protests. Let all sheriffs, police, and military be reconnected to the Creator so they act in right action with kindness and consideration toward all protesters. See all the government corporations backing down and the activists winning. And we call to Obama's higher self to get him to speak truth and to back up his words with positive action that will help defend the protectors of the land and the water itself. So be it. So fill this up with light and love. And let's take a deep breath and release it. Well, I am really, really pleased to bring you this next segment. And hi, Mark. I heard you're there.
Hi, Kathy. How are you? Good evening.
Oh, good evening. And I have to read the back part of your book. Do you mind?
No, go for it.
All right. Well, you know, the book is called, you know, what you wrote is My Dad is an Alcoholic, What About Me? And it's a preteen guide to conquering addictive genes. So now, everybody that's out there, listen up. Does someone in your life drink too much, do drugs? Does their addiction often make you feel unsafe? Do you wonder if you might someday be like them? Well, Mark grew up in a family with a deep history of addiction on his mom's side, though his mom made the conscious decision to never activate the gene, never indulging in drugs or alcohol. It remained present, and both Mark and his sister succumbed to addiction. His kids struggled to understand why their dad drank so much and why he was so angry when he did. It was only when he recognized how his addiction was affecting his family that Mark finally took the steps necessary to recover. So in this really incredible book, Mark and his daughter, Liana, tell you everything they wish someone had told them about addiction. So together they share their family's journey of recovery. Now, science says that just like some people are allergic to peanuts, others are allergic to alcohol and drugs. If one of your parents has an addiction allergy, you might have that same allergy hiding in your genes. And the good news is that you do have a choice. And Mark and Liana teach you how to stop your allergy from ever turning on. And if you're ever wondering what's happening in your family and what you should do, My Dad is an Alcoholic will help you find the way. Yeah, I really think it's a brilliant piece of work, Mark.
Well, thank you, Kathy. We're very excited to be able to talk to people about it and try to spread the message. My daughter wrote half the book. I wrote half of it, and my son and wife also participated. If you see the cute little drawings of the peanut and potato throughout, so it's now a family project. We're just trying to spread to children in need across the country.
Well, you know, it's an amazing mission. You've taken a negative and really made it a positive. And, you know, to do this, you really got to put yourself out there and expose yourself.
Yeah, there was a you know, the title of the book says it. My dad was an alcoholic. What about me? So I'm the dad, so certainly we're putting ourselves out there. But I've realized through my family and my 7 years in recovery and my 15 years of struggle before that, that there are tens of thousands, if not millions, of children in need that struggle with this disease. I know I'm in California, you're in Hawaii, but you know, Hawaii, there's rap and drug and alcohol use, and there's a lot of studies and my own personal belief and a lot of other people's belief that if you can teach some of these kids with addiction in their genes what they need to know, they'll have a fighting chance against it rather than trying to, you know, treat them when they're, you know, in their 20s and 30s in rehab.
Oh, it just makes sense. And what I like also about your book, you know, you wrote into it, and your daughter did this, and she did this, you know, how old is she when she wrote the book?
She's 15 now, and we started writing it about 3 years ago. She was 12 and 13.
Oh, my, you know, I'm sorry, she's like 30, okay?
Yeah, she's a good writer.
She's a very good writer. Now, you know, you write something, then there's something called Thoughts from Leanna. And, you know, there's devotional messages in it because you're very, you know, you're very spiritual yourself. And, you know, you guys have your connection to the Creator. But it blows me away because, you know, she puts in there, not you, but her. And what you said, she was 12 when she wrote this?
Yeah, and she did.
Okay.
I didn't tell her to put the devotional messages in there. She did that on her own. She picked out the passages that she thought would inspire children about that topic.
Well, I want to read this one, too. And, you know, and you tell me if you think this 12-year-old is 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the devotional message, and I just pulled it out, is... And for me, it's like, oh, my God, you got Bible verses in here. Heaven help me, right?
Yeah.
Well, she puts it in there, devotional messages. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that's Matthew 27:46. And then she interprets it for you. And, you know, she says after, you know, again, it's a short one, my God, you have forsaken me. You might feel anger toward God if your parent is an addict, but he only gives people choices. Your family member just made the wrong choice and slid into the darkness of drugs or alcohol. I see addiction as a curse. I try to see it as a blessing because it built my dad's spirit and gave me a chance to share this with you. Wow.
Yeah, she's that gives me the chills when you read it. Yeah, she's amazing, and that passage is amazing, and you know, the book is targeted to preteens. So who's better to talk to a preteen than a 12 and 13-year-old themselves writing it? It's, you know, if they're listening to, you know, God bless, you know, the effort of Nancy Reagan in the past to say no to drugs, but that was a, you know, 60-year-old woman living in the White House talking about drugs. This is a 13-year-old, now a 15-year-old girl, you know, going through the same peer pressures as everybody else, giving this advice and wisdom, as you mentioned.
Oh, good grief. Can I just read the chapters real quick? Because to me, you know, when you it's like, oh, my God, this is what the book's about. And, you know, it just pulls me in because I want to know. Okay, now remember, this may be directed at the preteen guy, but, you know, if anybody's got a challenge with alcohol or a family member, you might want to read this. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
in fact, we've had a lot of people that have given it to adults that are in the middle of the disease or maybe don't even realize it, and we've had a lot of positive feedback on that as well.
Oh, yeah. So the first chapter is, why should I read this book? Okay. What is an addict? Are drugs different from alcohol? How can I tell? Is he changed? Does he have a disease? Am I different from him? Why can't he stop? Who do I talk to? Peer pressure. How will I fit in? Is there a cure? God is calling me to help. Prescription pills. The 12 steps. I can decide my future. And then you've got this cute, the peanut versus the potato, which I thought was very delightful to read. So to me, you know, I mean, this, we got to get into the book. Okay, sorry. I just, it's an incredible book, all right?
Oh, thank you.
And for those, if anybody wants one, you know, give the station a holler because I have an extra one to give away.
All right, or they can go to Amazon or potatoallergy.com, and this is all done for charity. We're just trying to spread the message, but yeah, let's get into the book.
Well, okay, alcohol abuse is one thing, but addiction is another. How do you know when you've crossed that line from alcohol use into alcoholism?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. You know, there's you see drunks on the street that are homeless, or you see the PTA mom that has martinis every night, or somebody at their beach house that drinks Budweiser every night. But what I've come to understand through just my own experience and interviews and studies and a lot of reading, I think it's when you actually need the alcohol more than you want it. And when you're looking for places to go at night because they have alcohol, not just because you want to go to that sports bar. It's when, you know, the top decision on how you're going to spend your evening is where you're going to get alcohol. So it turns from a want or an enjoyment to a need. So alcoholism is a progressive disease in everybody, and it always starts out with, you know, just drinking a few years, and then at the end of the last, you know, 10 years or hopefully shorter before you stop, it's really a need. Your body needs it. Your mind tells you need it. So when you have a few drinks and you tell yourself that night you're not going to, that's a sign you need to definitely look at what's going on.
Well, they usually say that alcoholics have to really hit a low point in their lives before they change. Was that true with you?
Yeah, and mine was fortunately not very low. And everybody has, you know, we refer to it as a bottom, but everybody has their own bottom. And some people, they don't have one. It's death. Mine, despite having some significant consequences in years leading up to this, you know, falling and hospital stays and you know, bad actions, embarrassing things with my family, my wife. Mine happened to be a little comment from my daughter, who, you know, obviously is very critical in this. I took her to a concert, a daddy-daughter concert one night, and I was very excited about it because it was her favorite American Idol singer. And then that night when we got home, my wife asked my daughter, how was the concert? And her only comment was, Daddy had a lot of beer. He drank a lot of beer. So that when my wife told me that the next day, I pretended like it didn't matter to me, that she was just incorrect, but that hit me in the chest and the heart. And 4 days later, I was in Las Vegas and drank myself into a spot where I asked, I think I made myself get drunk enough where I had to ask for help, and fortunately some of my very close friends were there in Las Vegas with me and took me to rehab. So it was just that one comment from my daughter, which... you know, there were probably 10 years worth of actions and consequences that should have put me at that bottom.
Well, I can understand. She's a pretty incredible child.
Yeah, and some people, you know, some people, and I've seen it. Some people, it's a threat of a divorce, and they'll go into they'll go get better, or it's a threat of losing a job, and some people, it's none of that. I've seen people, you know, friends of mine, and spouses of close friends of mine, that their wife leaves, their children leave, they lose their job, lose their house, and they drink themselves to death alone.
Once you decided you were going to change, you hit that point, what did you do?
Well, it's a very hard disease to cure on your own, to treat on your own. So the last 10 years of my drinking, I wanted to get better. So, you know, 4 or 5 times a week every morning, I said, I'm not going to drink anymore. And that's sort of the complexity and the brutal nature of this disease is you really can't do it on your own. So I'm a very strong-willed person. Most things I ever set my mind to, I get it done, but I couldn't do this. So when I asked for help, I asked some people who were really there to help me and sent me to a rehab. And I spent 30 days in a rehab, and in that time I realized that it was a disease. It has to be taken seriously, and again, that you can't cure it yourself. You have to, you really have to listen to the experts. So 30 days in rehab, and during that time I realized that, again, trying to cure yourself fails. I was convinced of that. So since that time, I've been listening to experts and authorities and not trying to make my own decisions.
Well, what role did your family play in your recovery?
Well, after my wife got over the initial shock, which I'm sure you can imagine, I called her from Las Vegas on a business trip and said, "Hey, honey, I'm not coming home tomorrow. I'm coming home in 30 days. And by the way, I've been hiding my alcoholism from you for the last 15 years, and give the kids a kiss. I got to go. Bye." So it was a little shocking. After she got over the little
direct into the point, right?
Yeah. And I also said, by the way, they won't let me have a phone here, so I don't know if I can talk to you for 30 days. So she was justifiably a little horrified. Fortunately, after that, I actually switched rehabs to a closer one where the kids and the wife visited me. They were there to support me every day in rehab, and we'd sit around and look at a little fish pond so I could remember what I was doing this for, not only myself, but obviously for my family. And I remember when I got home, there were little, my kids were a lot younger than obviously, but there were little cute drawings on paper taped all over the house where it had like a can of beer, and there was an X through it, and it said no beer and no more wine and no vodka. So they were there to support me from day one. And obviously, you know, looking at the book, my son and wife did the drawings, and my daughter helped me write it, and they're helping with the process, so they've been very supportive.
Well, what do people actually have? Do people actually have an addiction, Gene? Is it really talked about?
Yeah, and I think we all know that intuitively. You know, going back hundreds of years, everybody knows that when Pa was a drunk, and Grandpa was a drunk on the farm, and the cowboy, and the son's a drunk. And everybody knows it. You know, families where it passes down. And the science has caught up with that, and has proven the same thing. The science is pretty overwhelming. If you have addiction or alcoholism in your genes, you're four times more likely to become an alcoholic yourself than a normal person. So, you know, a 400% increase is significant. And in the last 10 years, scientists, with all the advancements of DNA, have actually located a gene that they think has the markings that relate to the alcoholism and addiction being passed down. Now, of course, figuring out what to do with that gene and the DNA, we'll probably know in 100 years from now or 50 years, but they believe they've identified the DNA in the gene that actually passes from family member to family member.
Wow, and you would call a functioning alcohol. Now, when you say functioning alcoholic, what does that mean?
Well, you know, it's really sort of a dangerous term. I think what it means is, he still has a job, he's going to work every day, he's able to do his work, he's able to drive his kids to soccer, he's able to cook dinner. Why I say it's dangerous is because there's always somebody lower on the addiction or the drinking scale than you that'll make you feel better about yourself. So I certainly was the definition of a functioning alcoholic. If anybody was, I was still advancing in my career, the kids, the house, the cars, the soccer dad. But, you know, inside and hiding all along, I was an alcoholic. But being in that functioning alcoholic position, I would always look at other family members who lost their job because of drugs and alcohol, or, you know, the people in prison or in rehab or on the street. And it's really easy to tell yourself you don't have a problem when you see someone worse off than you.
How did knowing about the addiction gene actually help you succeed in your recovery?
It was, for me, a giant weight lifted off my shoulder. Almost from the first or second day in rehab, when I started learning about the disease, when I learned that an alcoholic's brain actually reacts differently. They can take MRIs, and you can see the brain react differently than a normal person drinking. And when I realized that, that I was four times more likely than one of my friends to become an alcoholic, I concluded I didn't have much of a chance. I went through college and lived in the frat house, and you do a lot of drinking. And that amount of drinking, and then through school after that, with the genes that I had, I told myself it wasn't my fault. That immediately allowed me to, get rid of the guilt and shame that comes with hiding, a disease and being an alcoholic. So for me, it was a huge relief, and it's almost from day one I was able to move on and focus on recovery and also spreading the message.
What do you do? What steps do you take to ensure that you stay sober?
It's a very strange thing where it's not the most logical solution, but a lot of, with a lot of things in life, it's not the most logical thing, but some things work. And what works is getting together with another group of alcoholics. And the one I happen to go to is Alcoholics Anonymous. There's other groups. But since the 1930s, where a bunch of alcoholics get together and talk and share their feelings and learn coping skills and, meet once or twice a week, that seemed to be the only thing in the history of man that's ever worked. So I don't think I can come up with a better solution. What's been working for millions of people since 1930 when it was invented, and some people think it was, the divine inspiration to the authors, that they were inspired by God to write a book that would help so many people. So that's what I follow. There's a lot of different ways to do it, but certainly the support groups have proven to be much more successful than anything else. In fact, before Alcoholics Anonymous, you can read in some of the literature, if the husband was a drunk, the doctor would tell the wife, he's going to die. There's no cure.
Oh, okay. Lost my train of thought. I know you can. But I want you to talk about, we don't have a lot of time, so we're smashing it all in. I like how you compare to alcoholism to having an allergy.
Yeah, we wanted to make it really relatable to kids, and I'm sure you and everybody listening on the islands or anywhere else, you know a kid with a peanut allergy. And when the kid has a peanut allergy, everybody acknowledges there's an allergy. He's not ashamed of it, and he just has to, treat his life a little bit differently. So, if your nephew has a peanut allergy, you don't cook a meal with peanuts. So the thought was, well, what about the kid with alcoholism in their genes, which is really an allergy. It's an allergy to alcohol, and we chose potato because it makes vodka. So the little potato allergy, the theme of the book is, well, for the kids that are allergic to alcohol, they have a potato allergy, and why don't they get the same respect as peanuts, the peanut allergy? Why aren't they wearing a little wristband that says potato allergy, and when they go to a party, why doesn't everybody know that they have an allergy to alcohol, like their friend with a peanut allergy does? So we're trying to make it something that the children can talk about. It's a cute little character, and that they're not ashamed of, just like their friends with a peanut allergy. And the idea sort of taken off. Kids, we actually, if you go to our website, potatoallergy.com, we actually have a little blue rubber wristband like a peanut allergy, but it has a cute little potato on it, and those are available free. So getting the kids to wear that and acknowledge that they have something different in their genes that they just don't need to be ashamed of.
Well, what do you hope kids and their parents will take away from this book?
Well, I hope parents will discuss this topic with their kids, and if this book and the movement makes that easier, then we've succeeded. Unfortunately, most alcoholics or people with alcoholism in the family don't talk to their kids about it. What we hope the kids get from this is an understanding that they might have to live their life a little bit differently, that if they drink or experiment with drugs in the future like some of their friends do, that they might not be able to just leave it in high school or leave it in college, and that it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's a disease in your genes, and it's very preventable. It's not like being diagnosed with cancer, and you have to you have to treat it. This is preventing it rather than treating it when the disease is alive. And my daughter also talks in the book about peer pressure, so she wants to also provide an avenue for kids to talk about their feelings and their worries.
Huh, that's very interesting. Where can people get more information about genetic addiction and steps to recovery?
Sure. I think our website is a good place to start, and it's Potato App on there. Obviously, the book has some information. We have on the website, and on the potatoallergy.com website, they can sign up for all the social media. So if your kid uses Instagram, we're on there, or if you're Facebook or like my wife, we're on there, and we're even on Twitter. So there's a lot of articles to come out to talk about the genetic links and tips and advice for kids, and then also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and those online retailers that can get a copy of the book, which provides the information.
How long... how did this become a family project, and how long did it actually take for you to put the book together?
Right in rehab, I wanted to make sure that my kids had the information that I did not have, that most kids of alcoholics or alcoholism in the family don't have. So for the first few years, I would just talk to them about it, and then I saw them doing their homework one day. And they were learning some things to the rhythm of a song, and because the teacher thought that they could learn more listening to a song. So it occurred to me, well, what if I have them write something? What if I actually have them write part of the book? And what a better way to get the message to sink in? So I asked my daughter to start writing it with me, and as you recognized at the beginning of this interview, my daughter's a very good writer, so the more we wrote, the more I read it and realized that, wow, this can help some other people. And my son jumped on board because he's a good little artist, and my wife helped him draw as well. And, a couple years later from the date we started the first page, maybe 2 years later, we had a good manuscript that I let some of my close friends read, and the feedback was really positive. And now we're trying to spread the message out there to help kids, the families, before it's too late.
Have you ever tried thinking about approaching schools with this? Because this would be a very, very wonderful tool to use in school.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. We have in limited... doses. We've given it to a couple principals, and they do like the idea. But yeah, that's a good idea. That's definitely we'd like to get it in a certain age group in the classroom. Maybe the age where they all learn about the birds and the bees would be a good time to learn about the peanut and the potato as well.
Well, it's life. When we were growing up, we got to learn. We had home ec. But, it's so important. They didn't talk about, about alcoholism or drugs. It was just, dad drank a lot, and that was it. And you just kind of accepted it and worked through it yourself. So this is an excellent book and a good time, to bring it out with so much happening in the world. And, nothing is hidden anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that, and the more I had people read this that had parents that were alcoholics, the more they shared that same sentiment. In fact, one of the strongest reactions was from I have a lot of relatives on Hawaii on the North Shore, and one of our cousins read it, and both of her parents were alcoholics, and she was just blown away by the need that her kids and other kids had, and that you know, reactions like that really inspired us to move it forward, because kids and most families left on their own, you just see one generation after another starting to, you know, drink and drug, and it just, the cycle repeats.
What I like is that it's encouraging kids to speak up. Now, I'm going to read you another quick devotional message that Liana put out, and it's, "I know that you can do all things, your plans cannot be stopped." Now, this is in her interpretation. "The Lord has great plans for everyone, but you must choose which path to take right now. You have two paths to choose from to help the addict by voicing your concern, or to just sit there and watch. This is your choice."
Yeah, that's very brave. It's a very brave 13-year-old to write that, but she's right. And, you know, she's got a lot of wisdom for a young girl, but she's absolutely right. She ended up saying something. It's the trigger that got her dad sober. So if there's, you know, her point is, if you're a child and you see something and you're worried about your parents, and you know, how many adults here in this country that have addiction problems to heroin or pills or alcohol? If you see something wrong, tell the other parent. Tell a pastor.
And if you can't do that, you know, this book, "My Dad is an Alcoholic, What About Me?" You know, and finding a way to get it to the kids so they can, I don't know, casually leave it in front of their dad or whoever the alcoholic is.
Yeah, good idea. That is, if they see their kid reading it, because most alcoholics know they're an alcoholic. They're just, you know, they deny to their spouse and their coworkers. But if the child's actually reading this, I think you're right. I think that would, if I saw my daughter reading something called "My Dad Was an Alcoholic," that would have hit me like a sledgehammer.
Well, that's, you know, I get chills with that. That's what my thoughts are too. I mean, that would be a, you know, face slapper. Yeah, and you know, again, you never know and where that point that alcoholic is where he might make the shift, but if this is one way of getting maybe to them, it's really an easy way.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective. I think that's a great idea. I'll keep spreading that message.
And again, how do we get the book?
Well, Amazon, which sells every book, you can get it on there, and or you can go to potatoallergy.com, and there's a link there to Amazon as well, and you can also sign up for our social media and ask my daughter questions if you're a kid out there, or ask one of us questions, and have some more information on the movement. And again, you can sign up for a cute little free bracelet for the kids, and I've seen kids wear it around with pride.
You know, and again, I love how you compare it to allergies. And again, if someone was an alcoholic, you don't bring alcohol into the house or you drink in front of them, you know. If someone has a peanut allergy, like you said, you don't bring peanuts in the house or something cooked out of peanuts. It's common sense.
Yeah, that the peanut potato analogy and trying to make that the way that children can relate to it has been really effective. But I was just struck by the idea one day, and it seemed really effective.
It's just not children, but I got it, okay? I went, you know, you make it easy. That's the whole thing. And just because it was written for kids doesn't mean that there are not a lot of stuff in here that the adults need to read also. And then you get a different perspective, especially coming from a 12-year-old, and you're going, whoa, okay, this is what they really think.
Yeah, you're right. No, this book's actually been, I've had personal friends that have been giving it to their own spouse or sibling that are in their 30s or 40s. And there's not a lot of literature out there, unfortunately, that deals with, you know, that's easy to read, that deals with alcoholism or addiction. There's a lot of memoirs and, you know, a lot of things about rehab or how to do a natural cure, but just an informational book that's easy to read and not intimidating. This seems to have been effective with a lot of adults.
You know, we've talked about a lot about alcohol, and I think we have a few minutes to touch on prescription pills, which you really have some prescriptions that you really recommend that a lot of addicts or potential addicts stay away from.
Yeah, it's, you know, what happens with a lot of alcoholics that relapse is they relapse on pills because they think it's prescribed, it's not alcohol, but your brain thinks it's the same thing. So when you take a Vicodin or an OxyContin, Xanax, the receptors in your brain think you're drinking alcohol. So if you go back and forth from Xanax and Vicodin to alcohol, it's the same thing. So we definitely recommend that that people with an addiction gene or just people who don't want to get addicted avoid certain types of pills. And, you know, those are the benzos, and we have a list in the book, and what you see on the news with the OxyContins and the Xanax and the other addictive pills. And what's really important to remember is it's your responsibility, not the doctor's, to make sure you don't get addicted to these things, because doctors aren't good about this. They are not experts on addiction, and they're going to give you pills. If you have a condition or you need to find a way to get pills, there's a lot of creative addicts out there. You need to, if you go to the dentist and get surgery and Tylenol can take care of the pain, don't get the Vicodin. And there's an entire chapter on that and the dangers of it. And it's really important to remember, because that's what a lot of people relapse on, and it's what a lot of non-alcoholics start their addiction with, is pills.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when we watch the news these days and we see the heroin epidemic, that's another offshoot off the pill, from pill issues in our country. People get hooked on OxyContin, can't afford it, and then go to heroin. So pills are very critical to look out for.
Wow, that's all I can say. It's such a different world, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, different areas have different drugs. I know on the islands there's a lot of problems with meth and ice, and the east coast of our country there's a lot of problems with meth. It blankets our entire country with alcohol and drugs, and we're trying to do our part and at least prevent more families from repeating that cycle.
Well, I appreciate you greatly for writing this book, and I hope everyone has really, you know, gotten a lot of out of it just in our little short time together.
And I appreciate the time you spent, and you had a lot of great, insightful thoughts and comments, and I'm sure my daughter will be very pleased to hear your comments on her. She did a great job with the book, and it's nice that you were able to recognize that in her contribution.
Well, I'm reading this, okay, and I know it's your daughter, but yeah, I don't get an age other than this is not a child writing this.
Yeah, and a lot of people have asked me, did you do most of the work for her? And I did none of the work for her. And I'm known as a fairly good writer myself, and there's a lot of people that have read this book and have said that her part is she's a better writer than me, so... 13 when she started,
well,
and I'm glad to have a talented kid with a lot of insight.
She's connected to the Creator, and
yeah.
She's got very strong belief in God, and, you know, this is channel, but, you know, when she interprets it, it's like, dang, I can't even interpret the Bible like this, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I have to have it interpreted for me.
Yeah, and it's a great thing, and it's one thing I lacked. Is my parents did a great job raising me, but it's one thing I lacked was a lot of religion and connection with God. But she certainly has had that from her upbringing, and it shows in the writing.
Oh,
ironically,
gosh, yes.
Ironically, the first PR firm that we talked to about the book suggested that we take all those portions out. It would be too controversial. So I politely said, no, you don't understand what we're trying to do. And then we found a great publicist who understood the connection to God and how that would be helpful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm glad you didn't listen and you stood your ground.
Yeah, that was an easy one. My daughter did some great thing with those passages and her thoughts and how you can look at it, you know, from a different point of view, with maybe a little more serenity.
Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, and you also have a younger son, too, don't you?
I do, and he did the drawings in here. If you see throughout the cute little peanut and the potato, he's quite a drawer, so he contributed as well.
Well, I guess that's the end of our show, and maybe next time we get together and talk, we can talk a little bit about how your son reacted to it all. That would be another interesting story.
Yeah, love to do it.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Treitler. I think you did a pretty good job.
Treitler. Okay, well, you know, sometimes I'm really language challenged. You know, when they say Mia, M-I-A, is it Mia or Maya?
Well, most people get the name wrong. You got it right. So.
Awesome. So you wrote this incredible book called My Dad is an Alcoholic, What About Me? And it's a preteen guide to conquering addictive genes. And I really recommend if you have somebody who has an addiction to give the book a try.
Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate the time and the great insight, and hope you have a great weekend.
Oh, you too. Thank you very much, Mark, for coming on. Everyone, I hope you have a great weekend and a great week, and I think we got the full moon, so watch your emotions. And aloha.
Opinions of any of the guests of